Today's June 26th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $60,922.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Well, it looks like we've gone lower since last time we recorded, Rick.
And we at least expected that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was really kind of on the fence. I didn't know which way it was going to go. I think the trend obviously was still downward. We were kind of in that downward slope. The trend line that we did have in place, just for, I mean, you guys can't see it on the chart, but I've had this chart that I've been kind of tracking this stuff for a while, and we definitely dipped below that, but now we're back up in that channel today because we dropped down to, $58,432 approximately is what we are looking at today. Actually, that was on the 24th. I'm apologized.
A couple days ago.
Yeah, 24th. So we're back above that, and we're back in that channel that was in the descending channel. There's theories out there right now saying that perhaps we're completing an inverse head and shoulders. We were talking kind of before we started on the podcast, like if that was the case, we need to stay above, what did I tell you? Do you remember? 56.5, basically. If we're going to complete that inverse head and shoulders, we've got to stay above that level and then complete the shoulder out. But who knows for sure what's going to happen? And we were kind of discussing before everything got going, some of the reasons why. But before we get to that, where are we at with our theoretical purchases, Rick?
Okay, so theoretical purchase back in October. Yeah, I just threw out, hey, if you put $3,000 down, you're going to be sitting pretty. And I'm not wrong. I mean, if you put $3,000 down, you got 0.0885 Bitcoin. But at today's price, you know, it's gone over $6,000, but right now it's at $5,392. Still not bad.
Okay. No, that's still not a bad return.
Yep. The second purchase that we threw out was just, hey, what if we buy right at the halving? And so the price was around $64,000 and put $1,000 down. And that would net you 0.01564 Bitcoin. So at least 1 million Satoshis. But, you know, with today's price at $60,922, it's down. So you're sitting at $953.
Yeah. So that one we've kind of taken a bit of a bath on. But I mean, it's still early. Like it's unrealized profits until you sell. So one of the big things. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the one thing with about the halving is it's not like a magic cure-all that just all of a sudden takes off. It takes some while to build that momentum. And then once it takes off, then you're sitting pretty.
Yeah. And I think even last time, if you go back and you looked at the halving of the previous cycle, like we were still pretty well below the all-time high for a little while after the halving. It wasn't until I think it was 120 days after before we started to cross that threshold again. And so, I mean, right now I think we're, 90 days out or something like that since the halving?
Actually, it's maybe 100 days right now.
100 days right now. So, I mean, we're still within that kind of that time frame. But at the same time, too, we were already pretty close to the previous all-time high. I mean, not accounting for inflation, by the time we got to the halving. So this whole bull market this time is a little bit weird. And then when you factor in the macroeconomic conditions that are going on around the world. But one of the big reasons why they're thinking, you know, we're seeing this sell-off pressure right now is because Mt. Gox settlements are finally beginning. And they're supposed to start beginning in July, like some of the early takers.
Yep. And what's a little bit of history on Mt. Gox for the newbies out there?
So Mt. Gox, and you remember the acronym, right?
Magic the Gathering Online Exchange.
Yeah. So it was one of the very earliest, and I know it's not the first crypto exchange, but it was one of the very earliest Bitcoin exchanges that existed where you could buy and sell Bitcoin. However, like the name implied, they were known for selling Magic the Gathering online cards or yeah. Magic the Gathering cards.
Which is kind of crazy because we had a friend who used to play that back in the day. So, yeah, I mean, that's what this started off as. And then they grew into crypto and then they were in over their heads and got hacked and most of their crypto got stolen.
Yeah, from what I understand, they had nothing in the way of real security, no real cold storage or anything like that. They just had it sitting on their computers where they performed this exchange stuff. And it seems like a lot of those settlements, those, and just for the folks that are unaware, like this happened in 2014. The price of Bitcoin at the time was like $498 at the time of the crash of Mt. Gox. So I'm glad to see some of these people that have been, you know, they've been holding on to Bitcoin. Well, they would have been holding on to Bitcoin, maybe not, for the past 10 years, basically.
Well, pause real quick. Not your keys, not your crypto. So if you were holding it on the exchange and this happened, I mean, this was one of the first times, but it's not been the last.
Right. Absolutely. And that's one of the important lessons to take away from that. I'm glad to see, like I said, they're going to get some of their Bitcoin back. You know, you had heard they're not going to get back one for one, right?
Yes. I mean, granted, the number I heard, and take this with a massive grain of salt, was they were going to get basically 8% of what they had originally.
Okay.
But, I mean, at $500 a coin versus, you know, we're complaining about the Bitcoin, price of Bitcoin's gone down to 59 or 58, 400. I mean, Bitcoin has done more than a 10x. So they're going to be, as far as the fiat is concerned, they're going to be made whole. Yeah. And then a little bit extra.
Yeah. And right now they're looking at 140,000 Bitcoin that are going to enter the market. And, you know, we don't know for sure that those people are going to sell, but just to kind of put that in perspective. Fidelity's Bitcoin ETF currently only holds 167,375 Bitcoin, and this is going to be 140,000 Bitcoin. So it's a pretty massive impact. It's estimated currently at the current prices to be about $9 billion worth of Bitcoin that's going to enter the market. Whether or not, you know, they're going to sell, that's anybody's guess.
That's a good point. And, you know, if you've, I mean, in their position, I wouldn't blame them for cashing out, but with as well as Bitcoin has done since they lost everything,
yeah.
I mean, the trajectory that Bitcoin has taken in the past 10 years, I mean, who would blame them if they want to hodl it just a little bit longer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and a lot of those people, you got to remember, too, a lot of those people in the early days that were doing that, they may not have had a full understanding of Bitcoin, but those were some of your early adopters and true believers, right? Especially right. To take a risk on such a crazy coin back in that time. Because, I mean, Bitcoin was much more risky back then. So
for sure.
We'll have to kind of see how that plays out. But that's a big reason why they believe that, you know, we're seeing a lot of the sell-off that we're seeing right now is because the market's kind of spooked by that, you know. And the other part of that, too, is that, I mean, realistically, like, the price action has been boring. I don't know how else to put it.
No, I've said that many times. Crypto has been kind of boring.
Yeah. We pulled up a chart on the ETF flows currently. We started off the week fairly negative. And it looks like we're actually starting to take a turn. So we had a pretty awful week the week prior. There was a huge amount of sell-off. We started off with 174.5 million outflows on Monday. And then now it's starting to get in the black again. We've had 31 million on the 25th, and it looks like 21.4 million today. So starting to swing back up, starting to go back into a positive nature. Time will tell. We'll have to see. We need to see Bitcoin's price continue to kind of rise. But one thing that we were kind of talking about before, is really that's not uncommon to have these types of dips, and you actually want to see it go lower, right?
Yeah. I mean, in every cycle in Bitcoin's history, it reaches a certain level, then it dips down 30% roughly, you know? And what has the downside been since the all-time high in March? Like 20%?
Well, I think the biggest one that we've seen so far, I want to say, has been at about 26%. 26%. Right now, I think we're sitting at like 22.
Yeah, but 30 is like a minimum. It's sometimes 40% that drop before it finally launches off and gets its full legs going on the on crypto. I don't know if you call it the summer or the fall, where it just goes nuts. So we've not really seen that, and it's not really sprung back. So I kind of wonder, you know, is it going to dip even further before it can catch some legs? But the flip side of that is, if it goes too low, at what point is confidence going to be shattered and it just enters an early winter?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good question. I mean, you know, we haven't seen that kind of springboard off yet. And it's one of those things where patience is rewarded in Bitcoin, but it's difficult. And people, most common way that people lose money in Bitcoin is they never realize profits at all. I understand wanting to hold for the long term, because I'm bullish long term on Bitcoin. But, you know, you see people that have like more money than they could ever imagine, and then they hold on to it, and then it's back down again. You know, they've got to wait for it to come back up. So, I mean, that's where the patience happens. And the other thing too is, like, when the market does move, it happens quickly. Like, it's not like there's just this slow grind. When it happens, it's violent when it does it.
Yep.
And if you're not there on those days, you missed out on the gains.
Exactly. And that's the thing. People who trade, it's more dangerous to be out of Bitcoin in this moment than to be in it. Because if you try and sell out, like say you had some and you sold out, it's like, I'm going to just get out right now and cut my losses or whatever. It could hit that springboard level and just bounce violently, like you said, and double price in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, and the violent swings goes both ways. It goes up and down, right? Like, I mean, you will see drops in a day that are just ridiculous.
Yep. And that's why Bitcoin for a lot of people right now is boring, because it's not doing anything super crazy. I mean, it's moving, but it's not that level of insanity.
Yeah. Personally, like, I mean, I still think that we have a bullish outlook, especially for the remainder part of this year. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's going to happen in the very short term. And when I say short term, I mean anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Not sure where exactly that's going to go. I'm hoping that we start to see a turn. Maybe in July, we'll start to see a good month. But who knows? I can't tell you yet. There's got to be a few different things. You know, and we've got the Ethereum ETF about to, you know, get approved here pretty soon, or at least come on the market. It's already been approved. I don't know if that's going to be a catalyst to get more people buying into Bitcoin. And then by the same token, like, how many of the investors that bought the Bitcoin ETF early on, maybe they're going to sell now and buy some Ether ETF and see how that's going to ride. Who knows? We'll have to kind of see. The other thing that I wanted to kind of bring up too is Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. He made some sort of a plea deal, right, with the Justice Department in the United States.
That's what I understand.
And he is now a free man, and someone anonymously sent him $500,000 worth of Bitcoin as a donation so he could pay off some of his debts. So kind of interesting. I wanted to bring that up because I thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit of information there.
Well, I heard that the plane that he rode on costed him $500,000.
Oh, really?
Some small island that he landed at. Kind of, I don't remember which islands they are. It's more by the Samoan. You know, it's somewhere in the Pacific.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And the rumor is he's going to hang out there, do his plea, and then he's going to go to Australia where he has family. So.
Well, he is a free man. I just saw that. And roughly $500,000 will nearly be enough to cover the Julian Assange private flight.
Yeah,
that's interesting. It was organized but not paid for by the Australian government.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Anyways, is there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it for now.
One thing I'll just leave people with is if they are terrified right now with Bitcoin, or if they're afraid that they're going to lose their money, it's just still too early in this bull market. I mean, we talked about the booster rockets, all that kind of stuff. Hasn't happened yet. It doesn't mean it's not going to. It's just it hasn't happened yet. That's all there is to it. You know, we have different players in the market this time than what we had previously. You know, and when we look at the news and we see bullish commentary after bullish commentary, these companies are buying up Bitcoin like crazy, adding it to reserves, you know, holding it, pension funds. Like, that should have been enough to move the sentiment in a big, big way in the past. And this time, it just, people are like, meh, what's the next big thing that's going to happen? So,
yeah, that's kind of the crazy thing. You know, but this time is what flushes the weak hands and, yeah, flushes out the people who've leveraged their bets. And so, I mean, this is just part of the game.
Yeah, and I think Rick and I can both agree on this, is that one of the reasons why we started this podcast was we want as many people to come with us on this trip as possible. Again, it's not financial advice, but Bitcoin is one of the only things out there that the more people that get on board, the better we all do together. Yeah. You know, it's not a game where, well, there's always got to be a loser. Well, the only people that'll lose necessarily are the people that don't invest at all. So if you're thinking about investing, or you know, you do have some Bitcoin, maybe you're not doing personal custody yet, we do have a deals tab on our website where you can go in there and get signed up, or, well, you can go in and get a discount on Ledger or Elipal wallets. And then you can also sign up for the newsletter, and that'll get you the digital checklist to help you through your own self-custody, and just kind of give you some talking points for that.
Indeed. And sign up for the newsletter to get that, and we'll be cranking out some different topics here shortly.
Yeah, and hopefully over this next week, I'm going to have a little bit of time off. We'll get the blogs posted on there, like all the newsletters from previous writings from Rick. We'll get those posted on the website so you can go back and review those. So thank you all for listening.